Secrets. We all like secrets, don't we? We all want to be let in on a secret. Well, as a matter of fact, the Centre for Workplace Leadership at the University in Melbourne has a researcher, Bridget Van Wanrooy. She's written an article entitled The Secret to Unlocking Productivity in Manufacturing. Now, that's a secret we want to know about. Bridget, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Amanda.
It's a very interesting article, and it is, in one sense, not a secret. It seems to me to be common sense. Now, on to manufacturing.
Yep.
What would you say is the secret?
I guess there's a few secrets, but the particular secret we're looking at is that around management practices. So there's been a lot of research, particularly internationally, to show that there's a group of management practices that are referred to as high-performance work practices that are shown to have a direct link to improvement in business performance, particularly profitability and productivity. So these management practices, they basically fall into three essential bundles. The first one is about developing employees' knowledge, skills and abilities. And there's essentially two ways that this can be done, through getting the right people on board, the right people for your business with the right skills and knowledge and abilities, of course. And the second one is then training and developing your employees to make sure, you know, they continue to learn and develop.
And the second one you refer to as motivating employees, does that mean more than sort of remuneration schemes?
Yeah, it's a few things actually. The first important element is performance management. So making sure that people know how they are going in the workplace and whether they're performing and what's expected of them. And then the second element is that reward and recognition. So obviously you can do that through salaries and performance pay and bonuses and things like that. But there's also other non-monetary ways which are really important as well, like just recognising people when they're doing a good job and that kind of thing.
That is important, isn't it? I mean, I love money. I think money's great, but I'm certainly aware of the fact that it isn't everything. And a workplace where you're remunerated well but never told that you're doing a good job wouldn't be much fun, would it?
That's right, yeah. I know that a lot of people just want their boss to say, you're doing a great job every now and then, and that would keep them going, more so than a pay rise every year.
Yeah. A big mistake to focus on money alone. What about the third cluster?
The third one, yeah. So the idea is that once, you know, you've got your employees there with the right knowledge, skills and abilities, and they're motivated to put in effort, the last crucial element of that is giving them actual opportunities to contribute to their workplace, to offer up ideas. So the two aspects of that are giving them input into the way they do their work, and then the other element is just managers communicating and consulting with their employees about the way things are done as well, just generally. So that's sharing, you know, information about how the business is going, having regular meetings with staff, you know, and giving them input into those meetings, you know, suggestion schemes, employee surveys, all those kinds of things.
And yet you've found through surveys that perhaps Australian businesses aren't taking advantage of these sorts of things, which frankly look like they're common sense but are clearly not that common in the Australian industry sector, haven't you?
Yeah, so we did a survey of 1,000 small and medium-sized manufacturing businesses. So these are smaller businesses with less than 200 employees. And what we found was that while most businesses were doing a few of these practices, they definitely weren't doing a lot and they weren't fully reaping the benefits. So, yeah, we found about half of workplaces were doing some of these practices. But really, the important thing about these practices is that you have to use all of the practices in each of the three bundles that we're talking about here. And that's when you really see the benefits on your business. And what we found that only about a third of the manufacturing businesses were using what we would say is a moderate system. So they've got a few practices in each of the categories.
Well, that's a bit depressing, really, because manufacturing is very keen to blame governments, blame other countries for being, you know, super competitive and therefore we're crushed out. What do you think is the cause of this? Why is that so? I mean, it's such an obvious thing for people to do and there isn't a high cost involved.
Yeah, well, I'm a bit of a glass half full kind of person. I think it's also positive in that there's an easy solution here for a lot of businesses, and so there's a lot of potential.
Yeah.
And these are quite easy things to do in a lot of respects. But what we found, the businesses that were adopting them all had a moderate, what we talked about was a moderate system, as opposed to those who hadn't adopted a moderate system. We found there was quite a few differences in the nature of competition that they were facing, in their market conditions, and the kind of challenges that they were facing. So what we found among the businesses that had adopted these practices, they were more likely to compete on a national or international level. They were in markets that were either growing or stable, so they had the right conditions there in that respect. And the kind of business challenges that they were facing is that they were looking to be more innovative and retain their staff. So I think it's that more outward-looking kind of perspective that they had, and that they were focusing on what's good for their employees, to retain their employees, and ways to innovate. We suspect that that's why they've gone to those practices.
Yeah, so just to recap on that, make sure I understand what you've said.
Yep.
If you've got a business that's got a stable market or a growing market, and if it's a national market or even international, then that's the sort of business that your research showed is likely to be looking at how it can implement high-performance work practices, that is, to bring the best out in their staff.
Yep.
Let's turn to the non-adopters. So they're not in stable or growing markets.
No, so they were tended to be in declining or turbulent markets, as they described it. They also more likely to have local or regional competition, so they weren't competing on that international level. And the kind of challenges they were more likely to say that they were facing were the financial climate and weak demand. So I guess they had more immediate pressures on their business, which maybe stopped them from thinking a bit more creatively, or just, a bit more forward-looking about how they approach their management of their employees.
Yeah. Well, you pointed out in the article, and quite rightly, I think, that maybe if some of these people in the not-so-stable markets that had much more local competition adopted some of these practices, it might help them perform at a higher level. And I'm assuming you mean by that it might help them get on top of their local competition at least, and then give them more stability locally. And, of course, if they got that, they might have the wherewithal then to start going national and international.
Yeah, I think so. And that's the thing about this is we don't know what the causal factor, like which direction the relationship is, whether the adopters, whether they adopted these practices because they're in an international market, or once they had adopted these practices, it then enabled them to compete on an international level. So, yeah, you would think that if these non-adopters started using these practices that, you're right, they could start competing on a wider basis and become more competitive in their business.
Mm. And while you refer to these three things and the clusters of opportunities under each of them that you can put into practice for not very much cost as high-performance work practices, when you were researching, is this right that you found that a lot of people who were doing it didn't give it that name tag? They didn't actually recognise it as something substantive that they were doing. It was just part of the job.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we went into about seven different businesses and looked at businesses who were actually using these practices and how they benefited from these practices. And what we did find is they were doing these things because they knew it made sense to them and they saw the benefits of these practices. But, it wasn't because they had read some academic literature that told them about high-performance work practices. It was probably more because it just made intuitive good sense to them and they knew how important their employees were to their business. So, these practices can come around in a whole lot of different ways, and often it's not because they know that they're introducing high-performance work practices.
Mm. And really importantly, it makes common sense, but it's worth repeating that it's not as though the businesses that are doing this are going to a manual they've found somewhere or an article somewhere, as you say, a piece of academic research. They're actually doing things that suit their particular companies. So there's quite a lot of variation, isn't there, from place to place about what they do, because it has to suit that particular company.
Yeah, and that was the other really important finding from the case studies, was that no one system looked the same, and all these practices can be very much tailored to a particular workplace context. So we know that in small businesses these practices look very different to larger businesses just because of the nature of what is already happening there in terms of communication and consultation. So, yeah, they definitely can be tailored to specific workplace contexts, and not just for the manufacturing sector either. Although there is a lot of research to show these practices are particularly good in manufacturing, we also know that these practices can be applied across the whole economy for benefit.
Look, I can think of a number of different industries where those things would apply because they relate to the worker being given a chance to have a say, feeling involved, sensibly using the worker's ideas, all good things that, frankly, any industry really should do. Look, Bridget, can we conclude this interview by you doing exactly as you wanted to do in your article, which was leave the last word to a team leader at Dal Windows in Brisbane, where they apparently had great cost reductions and increases in productivity as a result of these practices. Can you share with us what he had to say?
Sure. So this team leader says, in his own words, "The employees, especially the new ones, are coming up with ideas that we haven't thought of. We've done things a certain way for so long, but now the employees are coming up with suggestions within their roles that we're taking on board every day. It's great."
An Australian business listening to people who are on the shop floor, who've actually got great ideas. It means more security for their jobs and more profit for the business. How good is that? Bridget, thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much, Amanda.
Dr. Bridget Van Wanneroy is Research Manager at the Centre for Workplace Leadership at the University of Melbourne. You're on RN and you're listening to Counterpoint with me, Amanda Vanstone.